Well, let's open in our Bibles to the book of Genesis, chapter 30 and verse 25 tonight. Last week we looked at the beginning verses of this chapter, as well as some of the remaining verses from the chapter before it, the account of the many children that were born to Jacob and his four wives. And we learned from that knowing that God distributes His blessings according to His good purposes, instead of envying others, God calls us to be happy for others and to be content with what He has given us. Tonight we're going to look, we'll pick up where we left off, and we're going to look at the remaining verses of this chapter. So we'll start here at 25 and we'll go all the way to the end of verse 43, which is the account of an agreement that was made between Jacob and his father-in-law Laban. So let's give our attention as we read God's Word. I'll be reading from the New King James Version, and let's remember that this is God's Word, which is the truth, and which is profitable for us, that we as the people of God can be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Let's hear now God's Word. And it came to pass, when Rachel had borne Joseph, that Jacob said to Laban, "Send me away, that I may go to my own place and to my country. Give me my wives and my children, for whom I have served you, and let me go, for you know my service which I have done for you." And Laban said to him, "Please stay, if I have found favor in your eyes, for I have learned by experience that the Lord has blessed me for your sake." Then he said, "Name me your wages, and I will give it." So Jacob said to him, "You know how I have served you and how your livestock has been with me, for what you had before I came was little, and it has increased to a great amount. The Lord has blessed you since my coming. And now, when shall I also provide for my own house?" So he said, "What shall I give you?" And Jacob said, "You shall not give me anything. If you will do this thing for me, I will again feed and keep your flocks. Let me pass through all your flock today, removing from there all the speckled and spotted sheep, and all the brown ones among the lambs, and the spotted and speckled among the goats. And these shall be my wages. So my righteousness will answer for me in time to come, when the subject of my wages comes before you. Everyone that is not speckled and spotted among the goats, and brown among the lambs, will be considered stolen if it is with me." And Laban said, "Oh, that it were according to your word." So he removed that day the male goats that were speckled and spotted, all the female goats that were speckled and spotted, every one that had some white in it, and all the brown ones among the lambs, and gave them into the hand of his sons. Then he put 3 days' journey between himself and Jacob, and Jacob fed the rest of Laban's flocks. Now, Jacob took for himself rods of green poplar, and of the almond and chestnut trees, peeled white strips in them, and exposed the white which was in the rods. And the rods which he had peeled, he set before the flocks in the gutters, in the watering troughs where the flocks came to drink, so that they should conceive when they came to drink. So the flocks conceived before the rods, and the flocks brought forth streaked, speckled, and spotted. Then Jacob separated the lambs and made the flocks face toward the streaked and all the brown in the flock of Laban. But he put his own flocks by themselves and did not put them with Laban's flock. And it came to pass, whenever the stronger livestock conceived, that Jacob placed the rods before the eyes of the livestock in the gutters, that they might conceive among the rods. But when the flocks were feeble, he did not put them in. So the feebler were Laban's and the stronger Jacob's. Thus the man became exceedingly prosperous and had large flocks, female and male servants, and camels and donkeys. And there we'll end the reading of God's Word tonight. May God bless us as we look at this particular passage. Every once in a while there will be a picture that is released of a little child playing in the Oval Office. You may have seen this, perhaps. It happened a lot while President Obama was in the presidency, and I'm assuming it will happen now that President Trump is in the presidency. And I'll tell you a little bit about myself. The reason I know such pictures exist is because I'm fascinated by the presidency. And I'm actually one of those guys who gets online to look at the pictures published by the White House, believe it or not. And so I look at these pictures and I think I would give anything to be able to go to the Oval Office. And that's the truth. And so why is it then that these kids in the picture get to go to the Oval Office and meet the president and see all of the things in the West Wing, but I don't get to go to the Oval Office? Well, it's because all of those kids who have a parent who works for the president, and I don't have that parent. And that's really what it comes down to, isn't it? It's not that these kids have done something extra special to deserve a visit to the Oval Office. It's because they have a relationship with someone who deserves a special visit to the Oval Office. And in a similar way, when it comes to being blessed by God, it's not because of anything you have done. It's because of a relationship you have. In particular, as we'll see tonight, the people of God are blessed by God because of our relationship with the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's because it's our relationship with Jesus that makes us heirs of the promised blessings of God. The promised blessings that God is always faithful to keep no matter what is going on in our lives. And that's the main point as we look at this passage tonight. That's the main point for us to learn, to believe, to remember, and to apply to our lives. Because of God's faithfulness in your relationship with Jesus, God's abundant blessings are always upon you. If you are a believer in Jesus, that is the case. God's abundant blessings are always upon you. Now, let's look at this interesting passage and see how we get to that conclusion. So as I've given you on the outline, the first thing for us to notice tonight is that God blesses you abundantly as believers. Now, our passage this evening comes in the middle of this larger narrative within the book of Genesis, dealing with Jacob in particular. And at the beginning of this larger narrative, if you remember, Jacob was given many promises. First, he received them through his father Isaac, and then from God himself. And now that we're in the middle of this larger narrative, we're starting to see Jacob receive the fulfillment of some of these promises. So last week we saw that God was given a multitude of children. Tonight we see that God has given Jacob a multitude of possessions. And we'll start seeing in the coming weeks how Jacob will start making his journey back to the promised land of Canaan. And so with that in mind then, let's look here at the beginning of the passage at verse 25, where Moses tells us, "And it came to pass, when Rachel had borne Joseph, that Jacob said to Laban, 'Send me away that I may go to my own place and to my country.'" And so Joseph, being the child, the last child that was born in verse 23 of right before this, the last child born to Rachel at the time. Now that Joseph had been born, Jacob had come to the end of his contract with Laban. He had worked the 14 long years that he had agreed to work to have Rachel's hand in marriage. And so having served his time, Jacob now wanted to be released from hired servitude. And this is what he's doing here. He's putting in his 2 weeks' notice, if you can put it that way. "Send me away that I may go to my own place and to my country." And so Jacob not only wants to be released, but he wants to take his wives, he wants to take his kids, and he wants to, remember, they're in Haran now, they're not in Canaan, he wants to start going back to Canaan so that they can be their own family. He doesn't want for them to live under Laban's roof, as it were, anymore. He wants them to be able to live under their own roof. And if you look down at verse 30, Jacob, like any good husband and father, wanted to be able to provide for his own family. But here's what we have to keep in mind. Jacob could not provide for his own family in his current situation because Jacob was penniless. Now, yes, Jacob had worked 14 long years up to this point. And Jacob had worked hard during those 14 long years. But all of that work, remember, was for what? To be able to marry one woman, Rachel. And so all of that work did not bring Jacob any other wages. No money, no animals, nothing. And so even though he had been working up to this point, Jacob was a very poor man. He was a servant, and he wasn't even able to provide for his own family. But if you skip all the way to the end of the passage, verse 43, that changes for him entirely. Because there we read, "Thus the man became exceedingly prosperous and had large flocks, female and male servants, and camels and donkeys." And so we have the bookends here. At the beginning of the passage, Jacob is a poor man. But by the end of the passage, Jacob is a very, very rich man. And so what we see here is that this passage is telling us the story of how an impoverished Jacob came to be a rich Jacob. Or, if I could put it another way, how he came to acquire great blessings from God. And that is how we need to understand these things tonight. These flocks and so forth, they were blessings from God. If you go back and you look at verse 30, Jacob here is speaking of Laban's flocks, but notice what he says. "For what you had before I came was little, and it has increased to a great amount." Why? "The Lord has blessed you since my coming." And there's a connection we're to see between these two verses. And that's also how we are to understand the prosperity that Jacob acquired. In fact, we're told explicitly in the next chapter that these were blessings given by God. And we'll come back and look at that later this evening. And notice that these blessings were not meager. They were abundant. Moses makes sure we know at the final verse, "Thus the man became exceedingly prosperous." And so in this account, Jacob went from having practically nothing to having great wealth. In the course of these events, he acquired abundant blessings from God. And you see, this passage is actually serves nicely as a paradigm for how God blesses all of His people, even those of you who trust in His Son this evening. That He bestows abundant blessings upon you as believers as well. Now, He may not always give you abundant material blessings, as He did here with Jacob. We'll see tonight there was a reason for Jacob to be blessed in these particular ways. We'll come back to that. But He does bless you materially. Children and a well-paying job, for instance, are blessings from God. Your house, your means of transportation are blessings from God. And for most of you, you do get to enjoy an abundance of these blessings. Nevertheless, the abundant blessings God bestows upon His people are especially your spiritual blessings in Jesus Christ. Paul says in Ephesians 1 verse 3, familiar words but powerful, beautiful words, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." Many of you I know are familiar with the story of Corrie Ten Boom. Corrie Ten Boom and her family were Christians who, during the Nazi raids of World War II, harbored Jews in their home to keep them safe. But they were betrayed, and Corrie and her sister Betsy then were sent to go live in a Nazi concentration camp. And Corrie was eventually released from that, but she learned in the time there how to suffer and what it meant to suffer. Because there she lost her freedom. There she was separated from the rest of her family members. She had to sleep in flea-infested quarters. She was treated horribly, as you can imagine anyone was in a concentration camp. And there she lost her beloved sister, who went to the camp with her. But there she also learned the lesson, as she later wrote, "You may never know that Jesus is all you need until Jesus is all you have." And you may have heard that before. Because she learned, if you have Jesus, then it doesn't really matter what else you've lost in life or what you don't have in life. Because if you have Jesus, what do you have? You have everything you could ever ask for. You have everything you could ever need. Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Things like the forgiveness of your sins, the Word and the promises of God, access to God in prayer, assurance of salvation, fellowship of the saints, public and private worship, and we could go on. And these are the blessings the Bible says we as believers have. And that's what Corrie Ten Boom learned. And that's what this text should bring to our mind. that as believers in Christ, we have every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. And what's even better about it is that God continues to bless us abundantly with these abundant blessings. Where He continues to forgive you of all of your sins every day. Where He continues to be with you in all of your trials. And where He continues to give you all the power you need to defeat sin and Satan. And so, just as Jacob acquired great wealth, you as believers in Christ are given abundant blessings from God. God blesses His people abundantly. Well, then, as we see secondly on the outline, not only does God bless you abundantly, but God blesses you in desperate times. He blesses you in desperate times. We just saw in verse 25 that God's blessing came to Jacob when he had practically nothing. When he worked hard and longed for a wife, but when he received no other wages. And yet, if you look again at the text, it was actually worse than just this for Jacob. Look at verse 26. Here Jacob says, "Give me my wives and my children for whom I have served you, and let me go, for you know my service which I have done for you." Here Jacob asked for Laban to give him his wives and to give him his kids. And while it may seem as if this was a simple gesture, after all, two of his wives were Laban's daughters, it's more likely that Jacob did this because Laban would have believed the wives and the kids belonged to him and not to Jacob. Now, scholars tell us this was often believed and practiced in many cultures of the ancient Near East. And in fact, if you look at Genesis 31, verse 43, which I've given you on your outline, it seems pretty clear that Laban was operating by this principle. There we read, and this is when Jacob is still wanting to leave with his family, "And Laban answered and said to Jacob, 'These daughters," the wives, "are my daughters, and these children are my children, and this flock is my flock. All that you see is mine." And so if Jacob wanted to leave and no longer be Laban's hired servant, which he had the right to do, having served his time, the wives and the kids were expected to stay behind with Laban. Now, they weren't to go with him, hence his request. And you can imagine how heartbreaking that prospect would have been for Jacob. But there's more. Because when Jacob asked to be able to leave with his family, Laban essentially said no. Look at his response to Jacob's request in verses 27 and 28. "And Laban said to him, 'Please stay, if I have found favor in your eyes, for I have learned by experience that the Lord has blessed me for your sake.' Then he said, 'Name me your wages and I will give it.'" And of course, at first glance, this seems like a generous offer on the part of Laban. "Name your price, I'll pay it." But it's actually a polite, if not maybe an impolite, rejection. Laban, in other words, here is buttering up Jacob, saying, "Yes, I've only had this success because you've been here," which was true, but inside he was greedy for more and more service from this servant who brought about these good things in his flock. He liked that his flocks were increasing due to Jacob's shepherding, and Laban didn't want to lose that. And this is why, instead of agreeing to let Jacob leave and say, "You're right, Jacob, you have served your 14 years. Take your family and go," which he should have done, Laban kept asking him, "Oh, name your wages. What can I pay you to get you to stay here?" He does it in verse 28. He then does it again in verse 31. Because Laban, the greedy man that he was, would not take no for an answer. And so Jacob was really between a rock and a hard place at this time. He had no money, no way of supporting his own family. If he left Laban's house, he'd most likely have to leave behind his wives and kids. And while he had the right to be set free, his master would not let him. He was fighting against it. Put yourself in Jacob's shoes for a minute. What would you have felt? Sadness. Despair. Frustration. To be sure, this was a desperate time for Jacob. What was he going to do in a situation like this? And yet, even in this situation and through this situation, what did the Lord do for him? Blessed him abundantly. And that's what you and I need to remember when we're in a desperate situation today. Because the Lord does the same thing in our lives as well. When you lose your job and you're not sure how you put food on the table,
When your child is diagnosed with a terminal illness. When you feel trapped in sin and as if you cannot find your way out. In these situations, the Lord is still blessing you abundantly. Now, I have a friend in Indianapolis whose wife has been struggling with health problems for quite some time now. She has this issue where her body will not take in the nutrients that she needs. And as far as I can tell, the doctors have not been able to find a suitable or long-term solution for her. And so it's very quickly becoming a life-threatening condition for her. And yet, as I heard from him just a week or so ago, my friend, this woman's husband, just got fired in a reorganization at his place of work. And so not only does his wife have a life-threatening health condition, but he no longer has the work to provide for his wife and for their children. And yet, while it's a very difficult and dark day for them, I know if you would talk to them tonight, they would say that the Lord is still blessing them through all of it. That the Lord is still providing for all of their needs. That the Lord is still ministering His grace to them, because that's what the Lord does. That's what the Lord does. And that's what we see here in the life of Jacob. Even in times of desperation. Even in those times, He gives you what you need materially for the moment. It may not be all that you want, but He gives you what you need. And more than that, His spiritual blessings are still being poured out upon you. He still comforts your heart. He still gives you peace. His promises are still an anchor for your soul and give you strength. He's still with you. His power is still at work in you. All the blessings of Christ are still yours. So not only does He bless you abundantly, but He blesses you abundantly even in desperate situations. And as we see thirdly on the outline, He also blesses you in spite of evil opposition. God blesses you in spite of evil opposition. A few minutes ago, we looked at Laban's offer in verses 27 and 28. Let's look now at Jacob's response to that offer in verses 29 and 30. So Jacob said to him, "You know how I have served you and how your livestock has been with me. For what you had before I came was little, and it has increased to a great amount. The Lord has blessed you since my coming, and now when shall I also provide for my own house?" And so as we saw earlier, Jacob here is reiterating his faithful service to Laban in the past. He's agreeing with Laban's assessment that his flocks prospered because of his presence, and he repeated his desire to leave so that he could provide for his own family. But as I said in the last point, Laban wouldn't take no for an answer. And we see that here in the first part of verse 31. And so, most likely not wanting to leave his family behind, Jacob agreed. And this is what he said, verse 31, the second part. "And Jacob said, 'You shall not give me anything. If you will do this thing for me, I will again feed and keep your flocks. Let me pass through all your flock today, removing from there all the speckled and spotted sheep, and all the brown ones among the lambs, and the spotted and speckled among the goats, and these shall be my wages.'" So Jacob is consenting here. "Yes, I will stay. I will work for Laban as his servant. I will take care of his flocks." But notice, he would not do it for any future payments. That's what he means here by wages. Because he's learned his lesson. When you work for Laban and wait to get paid at the end, you're going to get tricked at the end. And it's only going to get worse for you. And so he said, "I'll stay and work. If on this very day," notice the word today in verse 32, "if on this very day he could walk through all of Laban's flocks and pick out all of the odd colored ones. So the speckled and spotted of the sheep, of the goats, and the lambs that were brown." And this was a very generous offer on the part of Jacob, because these odd-colored animals were very rare. There would not have been many of them in Laban's flocks in the Middle East that would have had these colorations. And Laban knew that. And so Laban here, he's rejoicing because he's thinking he's getting a very good deal. More service from Jacob, and it's not going to cost him much. It couldn't have gotten any better for Laban. And so he said in response to Jacob, verse 34, "Oh, that it were according to your word." He is thrilled to death at what Jacob has just offered. But again, Laban was a greedy man.
And we saw this. We've seen this many times back in chapter 24 when Abraham's servant arrived and met Rebekah and put fine jewelry on Rebekah. As soon as Laban saw the fine jewelry, what did he do? Ran to meet Abraham's servant. And this is why he tricked Jacob into marrying Leah. This is why he made Jacob work 7 more years to be able to marry Rachel. Because it gave him what he wanted. And that's how Laban operated. He deceived and he took advantage of other people in order to feed his own greed. And as we see in the following verses, that's what he decided to do once again, having made this agreement with Jacob. Verse 35. So he removed that day the male goats that were speckled and spotted, all the female goats that were speckled and spotted, every one that had some white in it, and all the brown ones among the lambs, and gave them into the hand of his sons. This is not speaking of Jacob. This is not Jacob doing what he wanted to do. This is Laban keeping Jacob from what Jacob wanted to do. Laban is the he in this verse. So even though he had just agreed to give Jacob all of these odd-colored animals from his flock, he quickly sent away those animals under the care of his son before Jacob could ever do that. And to make sure Jacob would never be able to go find those animals, what does Moses say in verse 36? Laban put a 3 days' journey between them and him. You see, Laban didn't want Jacob to have these animals, these blessings from God. And so he took measures to keep Jacob from having them. But again, verse 43, how does the story end? God blesses Jacob nonetheless. And that's true for you too. You may be opposed physically by other people, for instance, who don't want you to be blessed by God, who don't want you to be hired at a certain place of employment, who don't want you to make progress over a certain sin. And so they may actively oppose you and resist you having those blessings. What's more, your own sinful heart, Satan himself, they are always out to provide this opposition. Excuse me. With temptations, with accusations, with lies. But as we see here with God blessing Jacob, not even the evil opposition could keep the Lord's blessings from coming to him. And that's true for all of us. Not our co-workers, not our neighbors, not the government, not Islamic terrorists, whatever it might be, not even the devil can keep God's abundant blessings from coming into our lives. Some of you may know that one of the bloodiest battles in the Pacific theater of World War II was the Battle of Okinawa. And that's because for the Americans, that was a strategic location to then make the attack on the mainland of Japan. And the Japanese knew that, which is why they fought very hard to the bitter end, losing something like 100,000, if not 110,000 of their own men just in that battle alone. And yet, if you know your history, you'll know that even all of that could not stop the Americans from taking the island. And in a similar way, that's how it is with God's blessings and evil opposition. Right? The opposition may fight long and hard. They may give everything they have, but they cannot keep God from pouring out His blessings upon you. And isn't that amazing? God blesses you abundantly, and thank God He does that even in spite of evil opposition. Well, then as we see fourthly on the outline, if that wasn't good enough already, God blesses you even in spite of your own sins. He blesses you even in spite of your own sins. As the text continues, Jacob realized he had been tricked once again by Laban. He starts to put the pieces of the puzzle together. And instead of submitting to God's will, and instead of trusting in what God would do to take care of him, Jacob decided, I'm going to trick Laban back. And even though he didn't have any odd-colored animals in the flock that were under his care, he was going to employ a method that he believed would produce these odd-colored animals. And so look now at verses 37 and 38. Now Jacob took for himself rods of green poplar and of the almond and chestnut trees, peeled white strips in them, and exposed the white which was in the rods. And the rods which he had peeled, he set before the flocks in the gutters, in the watering troughs where the flocks came to drink, so that they should conceive when they came to drink. So here's the method Jacob would employ to get the animals under his care, which were not odd-colored, to conceive odd-colored offspring. He got a bunch of sticks. He peeled strips in them so that the white under the bark would be revealed. And then he put those peeled sticks in the watering troughs so that when the animals mate as they're drinking, they would produce odd-colored offspring. Commentator Alan Ross explains it this way. He says, behind this plan was the common belief that a vivid sight during conception or pregnancy will leave its mark on the embryo. All right, so hang in here. This is Jacob's plan for tricking Laban. The sticks would give him odd color. Oh, no, we can't help but laugh as we think of this. The sticks would give him odd colored animals. And so when Laban would come back to check and see, all right, Jacob, which animals are in your flock? He would see that there are odd colored animals, just as Laban agreed to give him, even though Laban never gave him any of these animals. Now, what's amazing is that the plan worked. Look at verse 39. So the flocks conceived before the rods, and the flocks brought forth streaked, speckled, and spotted. Jacob's method was producing odd-colored animals, even though it was a practically impossible task. And so as we see in verse 40, when these odd-colored animals were born, he would separate them from the others, make them his own flock, and the implication is that Jacob just kept doing this over and over the period of many years. In fact, as we go on, Jacob didn't just conceive odd-colored animals, but he started then making sure the odd-colored animals he conceived were the stronger animals in the flock. Now look at verses 41 and 42. And it came to pass, whenever the stronger livestock conceived, that Jacob placed the rods before the eyes of the livestock in the gutters, that they might conceive among the rods. But when the flocks were feeble, he did not put them in, so the feebler were Laban's and the stronger Jacob's. So not only is he conceiving odd-colored animals, he made sure the odd-colored ones were the stronger ones, leaving the feebler ones left over for Laban. And we can laugh at this, but in all of this, what is Jacob doing? He's gone back to his old besetting sin. Deceiving Laban, taking advantage of Laban, because what was the agreement? Jacob was to take the odd-colored animals from the flock on that day. On that day, he was to do it. And yes, Laban made that impossible, but Jacob was not to do this. Jacob was going back to his old ways of taking any measure necessary to get what he wanted. But again, as we see in verse 43, what did God do for Jacob? Blessed him, and blessed him abundantly, and even used this sin of Jacob's to bring him the abundant blessing. You see, putting peeled sticks in watering troughs was just a bunch of hocus pocus. It's superstition. It will not. I mean, he could put a million peeled sticks in a watering trough. It will never, ever affect the coloring of the offspring of these animals. So how did the plan work? Well, it was the Lord who brought about the animals, these blessings for Jacob, even though Jacob was sinning against the Lord in doing so. So this is made clear for us later in Genesis 31, verses 10 to 12. Where we read, and it happened at the time when the flocks conceived that I lifted my eyes and saw in a dream, and behold, the rams which leaped upon the flocks were streaked, speckled, and gray spotted. Then the angel of God spoke to me in a dream, saying, Jacob. And I said, here I am. And he said, lift your eyes now and see. All the rams which leap on the flocks are streaked, speckled, and gray spotted, for I have seen all that Laban is doing to you. What is God saying? Jacob, I made the animals produce odd-colored offspring, not the peeled sticks in the watering troughs. God had blessed Jacob abundantly in spite of his sin. And of course, that's not to justify our sin today, but it is to reassure us that even our sins cannot keep God from pouring out His blessings upon us. He can even use our sins to pour out His blessings upon us. Some of you may know, I'm sure many of you know, that tomorrow night is the NCAA Men's Basketball Championship game. And while we don't expect this to happen, what would happen if one of the players on North Carolina started passing to players on the other team or started shooting baskets for the other team? What would happen to that player? Right, he'd be put on that bench immediately if not kicked off the team, wouldn't he? Because he'd be playing as if he was on the other team. Now, we don't expect that to happen because these are great basketball players and they've invested so much and so forth. But you realize when we sin, that's what we're doing. We're on the Lord's team, but we're acting as if we're on the devil's team.
And yet what's so amazing about it is that when we do that, the Lord doesn't put us on the bench. The Lord doesn't kick us off the team, as it were. He still loves us. He's still good to us. He still takes care of us. We sang earlier from Psalm 103, verse 10. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. That's what we see here so beautifully portrayed in this passage. God not treating His servant as He deserves, but blessing him abundantly in spite of his sins. And praise be to God, as believers in Jesus, that's what He does in our lives today as well. So as we've seen this evening, God blesses you abundantly. He does this in times of desperation. He does this when you're opposed by evildoers. He does this even when you're sinning against Him. And you realize if God does that, then there's not a single situation in which God will not bless you. And that's the point. That God blesses you abundantly, and He does so always. And that's because, as we see fifthly and finally on the outline, God blesses you out of faithfulness to His Word and because of Jesus Christ. The question we have left to ask ourselves tonight is, why did God bless Jacob in all of these ways? Well, remember, God had made particular promises to Jacob in the past. And for instance, He promised Jacob, and we saw this back in Genesis 28, verses 13 and 15. I won't read these words now, but He promised Jacob that He would be with him, that He would give him many children, and that He would bring him back to the promised land of Canaan. And in Jacob's mind, that meant, well, God's then going to keep me alive as I go on this journey to Haran, because He's going to bring me back to Canaan. And Jacob thought, that means He's going to give me food and He's going to give me clothing. And we saw this previously in Genesis 28, verses 20 and 21. Then Jacob made a vow saying, if God will be with me and keep me in this way that I am going and give me bread to eat and clothing to put on so that I come back to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God. And that's what God had promised Jacob. I'm going to bring you back. Well, to bring you back means I'm going to keep you alive. And in those days, that means I'm going to give you food that you need for you and your children. I'm going to give you clothing to protect you from the elements. And that's exactly what we see going on here in the second part of Genesis 30. The fulfillment of that promise. As God gave Jacob an abundance of animals, large flocks, camels, and donkeys. This was his food. This was his clothing. This is what would sustain him and his family and provide for them to bring them back to the land of Canaan, as God said He would do so. And that's ultimately why God blessed Jacob in these ways. And that's why God blesses you and me as believers in Christ in these ways today, because He's made the same promise to you, that He will take you to the heavenly Canaan. And when He gives you that promise, thank the Lord, it comes with many other promises, such as the forgiveness of your sins, the love of God the Father, and so forth. And nothing can keep you from receiving the fulfillment of those blessings, because God is faithful to His Word all the time, no matter what. And if that's not clear in the book of Genesis, I don't know what is. In the good times, in the bad times, when others are out to get you, even when you're breaking His law, He's faithful. And brothers and sisters, what you need to think about tonight is that you are on the receiving end of these promised blessings, not because of anything in you, but because of your relationship with Jesus Christ alone. If you look back at verse 27, and Laban said to Jacob, please stay if I have found favor in your eyes, for I have learned by experience that the Lord has blessed me for your sake. And I said this earlier, that Laban, he really was blessed because of Jacob's presence with him. And while this is talking about Laban, not Jacob, I get that. This is a wonderful picture of an unworthy person being blessed for the sake of someone else. It's a picture that points us to the ultimate cause for God's blessing upon us. Because you see, like Laban, we are unworthy of being blessed by the Lord. But we are blessed nonetheless because we have a relationship with one who is worthy. And that's not to say Jacob was worthy. You have to understand here. It's just to say that he was of the seed of the woman. But again, as Paul says in Ephesians 1, verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every abundance, every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." And so when it comes down to it, that's ultimately why we're blessed by God abundantly in desperation when we're opposed and even when we sin. This past Friday night, Ann and I went to the first annual Safe Families for Children Gala, a fundraising event for this ministry that's becoming so near and dear to our hearts. And at this event, I had the privilege at the end of speaking to the people and encouraging them to consider giving financially to the ministry. And while that makes the pastor a little uncomfortable, we're not used to asking for money, it was important because if the ministry was to go on, and if the people, the hurting people of Bloomington, were to be blessed by the ministry, what had to happen? The people of God had to give and have to give sacrificially to the cause. And brothers and sisters, the same thing is true when it comes to God blessing you and me today. We would not, indeed we could not, be blessed by God, let alone always and abundantly, unless the Son of God had sacrificially given Himself to the cause. Because as Jesus went to the cross, what took place? He was cursed so that we could be blessed. And thanks to His sacrifice, that's what we are today. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, "For He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him." So because of God's faithfulness, and because of your relationship with Jesus, God's abundant blessings, they are always upon you. At the worst of times, when evil is out to get you, and even, praise the Lord, when you've fallen into sin. And so may God help us to believe that. God's abundant blessings are always upon us because He is faithful and because of His Son, Jesus. Let's pray and give Him our thanks and ask His help to believe that and apply it to our lives. Our Lord in heaven, we do thank You for reminding us of how good You are. We thank You for giving us this passage which reveals to us Your great bounty and how bountiful You are in giving Your people such good things. Lord, how unworthy we are. But thank You for giving us a relationship with Christ. Thank You for being faithful to Your promises so that we could receive these blessings all the time. Help us to believe it this week, especially in these particular times, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen.